curiosity almost always does, it leads you into unexpected places, connecting unexpected dots that make you totally unique because of your level of curiosity that led you to an ever-evolving stream of passion. And it's 160 million horsepower. It goes from zero to 6,000 miles an hour in 2.43 seconds.
Which, again, we can't know what the future is going to look like. Be okay with the uncertainty and the unknown. That's all I can tell you. It's like, we just do not know what is coming. These companies are all waiting to like revolutionize your world. So just be ready for that. Hi, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast, where today we are debunking the debate of whether the earth is flat or the earth is round. And the reason why we are having this debate today is because we have some insider information. John recently visited a company that is at the center of this debacle that is full of conspiracy and posts images about the earth being round. And
yes, the conspiracy of the round earth.
Where were you? Yes. Of the round earth. Where were you this week, John? Tell us about that.
Yes. I was in Orlando, Florida. And I was with these people that got this conspiracy theory that the earth is round called NASA. And they have apparently it's real footage of the earth being round. I don't know. It's this new thing that's been coming out. So welcome to the pod. That was a surprise start there, Eric. I didn't know we were going into a flat earth, circular earth debate here.
It only makes sense. It only makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks. Got back from Orlando last night at 9 o'clock. I actually don't know what time it is anymore. At any time, I don't know if I'm in lunchtime or breakfast. But I'm in Dubai, just packing, and I'm going to Manila tomorrow, and then off to a tour of Indonesia and Australia. So really looking forward to that. So going from one side of the world to the other side of the world. So yeah, looking forward to seeing how my body is going to react to all these time zone changes. But all exciting, all fun. Mm. But the week I've just had with NASA's Vision 2040 mission is all we're going to be talking about today, which is an incredible, incredible set of people that are doing some incredible things. So I'm really excited to be sharing that with everybody on the pod this week. But before we go, everything okay there, Eric? How's the life of the luxury life in Cape Town?
Luxury?
The luxury life.
Yes.
The luxury life.
Absolutely phenomenal, mind-blowing. Couldn't be happier.
Okay.
I was on a call yesterday with someone, and I've had this like weird shift where before, when people said to me, I'm speaking to someone internationally, and like we're based in SA or based in Cape Town, there was like this bit of a tinge of like is this good enough? You know, like you're coming from SA versus like the rest of the world. And these days, I think a bit of an arrogance that I've developed.
Oh.
That, you know, when you live here, you have the mountains behind you, the ocean in front of you, the winelands around you. It's very difficult not to be extremely happy and content. But apart from that, life is good. Signed quite a few speaking deals this week, working on some new content.
All good.
Yeah, busy week actually. All in all,
I see Atlas in all your pictures on social media is the boss of the house, sitting on the highest position. Jeez. So he's like, he's trying to dominate the rest of the family.
Dude, he reminds me of Scrappy Doo. Did you ever watch like Scooby Doo?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Yeah.
So Scrappy Doo was the smaller one, but he was this like, this very bossy, sort of like wanted to fight everyone kind of attitude. And Atlas reminds me of that a bit. He's like, He just wants to go all the time, and he just wants to wrestle all the time and sit on your shoulders all the time. So, but yeah. he's been amazing. We are doing Canine Good Citizen with him in a week's time. So by the time we do the next pod, we'll be able to report on whether he has passed his exam or not.
And what do you think he's going to do? How's he been training?
I think he'll pass. Kenan Good Citizen is a test that like some countries require. Like if we wanted to move to Germany, for example, then he would have to have his Kenan Good Citizen test to show that he's a good boy, a goodest boy officially. And then he's allowed into the country.
And we got a new dog on the farm and a new lab.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the husky, I don't know, just disappeared into thin air. Just like he arrived with thin air, he disappeared in thin air as well. So my mom has been crying and just been like a lot of emotions around losing, not losing, I don't know, just disappeared into thin air. And so we got a new boy. And just before the boy arrived, my dad said we should call him Max. And he arrives and guess what his name is? Maxwell. So I thought that was really interesting. My dad had almost gotten a sense of what his name is. And so he arrived and his name was Maxwell. So we have a new boy on the farm and I'm looking forward to going to see him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to those listening to the Expansive podcast for the very first time, we talk a lot about dogs. And then second to that, we talk a lot about the future and how to prepare for the future and talk about NASA and all things.
We should actually, this should be a dog podcast, actually. We should just talk about dogs.
All the way from dogs to flat earth, round earth conspiracies.
Yes, exactly.
The podcast that covers it all.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So let's get stuck into today's pod. And I really have had the most incredible privilege of being invited to open a conference called Power Source Vision 2040, put together by a remarkable human being. I had no idea how remarkable she was until really spending time with her. She had put together this whole conference for about, I don't know, maybe about 300 people, 200-300 people, but the people that were on stage and the people that were part of the panels, honestly, I don't think I've ever been part of any conference where I've questioned my own intelligence many times. Sitting there, part of the audience, I was like, they did what? This person, there was one person there, she had a doctorate from MIT, Harvard, and Stanford. I mean, one wasn't enough. She had all three.
Wow. Yeah, so, and from top tier.
Top,
yeah.
I mean, you couldn't get topper. I mean, that's the toppest of the top.
Yeah.
So really incredible people that you had put together. And my first shout out is to Crystal, Dr. Crystal Johnson, who has been given this mission by NASA to put a self-sustaining city on the moon by 2040. And so her mission is to try and get people from within the space community and from outside of the space community to put together a brain trust and an advisory board to try and open up the discussions with private sector, to try and incorporate private sector and public sector, to try and put together everything from how do you use moon dust to create cement, all the way up to how do we build more rockets on the moon so that we can carry on traveling to the rest of the world, I mean the rest of the universe. So the and it's not just like building something, it's how do you feed people? How do you keep their social world alive? How do you keep their emotional worlds alive? How do you obviously keep them safe? I mean, it's everything from think about it. Like we often think about going to like Burning Man as the most harsh place for us to go and live for like a few weeks and think we have to take our own water and we have to take all those things yourself. There, you can't actually take much from Earth. You have to create everything there because it costs too much to take it from Earth to there. So, I mean, there was a guy there, for example, that was talking about this exact thing, is how do you take moon dust and create concrete out of it? So what do you need to put into it in order to create those buildings, that 3D printers there? And I mean, 3D people that were doing 3D printing. And
Are they able to do that? Or is that, like, is the space dust to cement thing, is that still a work in progress? Or
work in progress,
have they already figured that out?
Yes, yes. But I mean, I didn't even think about the fact of how you're going to build things up there. You know, like it wasn't even in my thinking. And then when he started telling me about the payload, it costs, I don't know, let's say $1 million for every kilo that goes up into space. It's like you can't take concrete. And you're just going to take a little bit of concrete. It's going to cost you like $50 million just to get the concrete up there. So you can't do that. So not only do you have to have a 3D printer to print everything up there, you also need a 3D printer builder so that the building is created by a 3D machine with the products that are already in space on the moon.
Sure.
Just the extent of it. But before I even get into those details, because I'm going to try and go through today, everybody was there, what they're doing, who was invited, what the discussions were about. But my first shout out is to Crystal, because Crystal got billionaires, the smartest people in the world, people who've been nominated for a Nobel Prize. I mean, just people from all around, a musician from Germany, me from Dubai, all of us congregated into Orlando to talk about what it means to have humans living on the moon by 2040. And it was all done because of Crystal Johnson. So, and I said this to her in day three, I said, Crystal, you know, every time somebody stands up to do a talk or to do a panel, the first thing they do is they thank you. And I thought, that is such a remarkable thing. And imagine the amount of value that she's created in their lives for them to give up of their time. And a lot of them paid for themselves. In fact, two people I know flew their own planes there to be part of the event and then flew out again. She had people from all around the world coming just from her warmth, her networking, her value adding. She reminded me of Oprah in many ways. She was like very magnanimous, very big, larger than life. I mean, think about the mission NASA's given her to build this contingency of skills to build that. So yeah. First shout out to Dr. Crystal Johnson, and we will have her on the pod real soon. She's on holiday now, so when she gets back from holiday, we'll invite her and get some dates done. It's always a bit hard because the timing is so all over the place, her being on the other side of the world. So first up, that's her. Just the power of networking and getting all these smart people into one room talking about Vision 2040. That's the first thing. The second thing is we had somebody there by the name of Cam, and Cam is maybe 60-year-old guy that is the first privatized landing on the moon in the history of humanity. Every time anybody else has gone to the moon, it's been because of a government putting funds together. He is the first privately owned company to put a rover on the moon. And he had done this 5 days before this event. So he flew in, did his talk and flew out because he was so busy with all the press that's going on and everything that they're doing up there. And he was showing us brand new pictures from the moon that the rover had just sent him that morning that nobody else had seen before. So he was showing us all these moon landings and rovers and unbelievable. And he was Iranian. And I looked him up while he was on stage. Worth $2.5 billion, space entrepreneur, started off his career at NASA, then left NASA and started consulting to NASA, and then now has created multiple companies that's all about taking people into space and landing them on moon. What an incredible character. Like I said, in his 60s, but almost like a child, so excited, giddy with excitement for what they were achieving and what they were doing and how they were going about it. So, I mean, geez, I didn't even know who he was. And then when he was on stage, I was looking him up. I was like, my God, this guy's like next level. He's almost like an Elon Musk in many ways, you know, thinking about the world in such large terms. So Cam Neferion, I think his name was. And then the next panel was the CEO of XPRIZE. And the CEO of XPRIZE, I don't know if you know XPRIZE, but XPRIZE is the largest funding, like it creates competitions around the world for us to solve grand challenges. They also actually were some of the first investors in SpaceX. And she is now running a couple competitions around the world. One of them is to try and find the solution for firefighting. So now that what they've got this new competition, $11 million, to try and come up with new solutions to make firefighting better, to pick up on fires starting earlier, and all these things around just fire prevention. And she's so passionate about it and talking about it. They also, and also, guess what? She's Iranian, which I was like, what's going on here? It's just Iranians, one after the other. And it was like America's built for immigrants. Most of the people on stage doing unbelievable things were immigrants. It was Indians, Taiwanese, Iranians, like all these people from everywhere else that have come to the States. And then the last Iranian, because there's four Iranians on stage, which was just amazing to me. The other Iranian guy, his father went blind when he was four. The father went blind when he was 4 years old, the father. And so he's made a mission of his life to try and help his father. So he's become an optometrist. But now what's happened is he's created something new by mistake. that from the picture of the retina, you can pick up the clearest evidence of your nervous system. So they can pick up a photo of your whole, I don't know, nervous system that can tell you your heart disease, can tell you everything about you just from an eye, a picture of your eye. And this was a total mistake because he wasn't even trying to do that. And so now what he's done, he's now rolling it out right across America. He's got FDA approval. He was there talking about the fact that they can start preventing diseases from an eye test. And this was just like an unbelievable thing. So he was up there. And you know what's so funny? He was still so emotional about his father going blind. And he was still driven by that passion of helping his father. I mean, I still get goosebumps thinking about it. I was watching him and I started getting tears because imagine, oh my God, I'm feeling emotional. But imagine being a kid and your father's blind and you make a mission and a commitment to yourself from a very young age that you're going to help your dad because you love your dad. He's your hero. And here's this guy, he's 45 years old, and he's now changing the world, still emotional about his dad going blind, but so pushed by a mission to try and help blind people. But now he solved a whole new range of things without even realizing it. So just incredible, passionate people doing some incredible things up there, you know? So those were sort of like the things that really stood out for me.
Sure.
Then there was a lady there that won an X Prize. Now, there was an X Prize put out a few years ago that they wanted to copy the Star Trek scanner. I don't know if you know about the Star Trek. I'm not a Star Trek.
Yeah, of course.
So the scanner that would figure out if you're healthy or not. The lady who won that X Prize was there. So the lady who won that X Prize was the one with a doctorate from MIT, Stanford, and Harvard. And she was sitting there and she was explaining that she thinks the medical world is a crock of shit. She's like, look, I'm a physician and I can tell you it's a crock of shit. And I'll tell you why, because nobody is looking at health holistically. Everybody's siloing it. And so the minute you silo something, you're only dealing with the end result and then medicating the end result rather than looking at things holistically. And it was amazing listening to her because she's creating the technology and now driving the systems into the healthcare world, doing it in a holistic way. Now, of her 25-minute talk, I understood literally, honestly, 5 minutes. The rest of it was such big words that I had no idea what she was even talking about. But what she was trying to do was trying to explain that the holistic way for us to heal requires a very, very different way of thinking about medical world. And because she's got a doctorate and so many different doctorates, she's so well sort of versed to want to come and sort of give these solutions to the world. And I'm just going through the list of all the people that I remember there. There was a guy there. He was the head of innovation and AI for NASA. And he was such a great guy. His name's Omar. And he was talking about what they're doing with AI and how they're going about creating new language, large language models to help AI, to help NASA, to help understand this vision and all the details he was going through. And again, it's so funny, you know, I was only understanding half of it. The words were so technical and so large. I was like, geez, like the panels were so smart. I was like losing myself right throughout that process. Half the time I wasn't really understanding anything anywhere saying. Then obviously what we had also was Dr. Joe Dispenza and his scientist, Dr. Hemal Patel. They were there. I mean, Dr. Joe zoomed in, but Dr. Hemal was there. And they are 100% now involved with NASA to try and bring all their meditation and all their practices into NASA to try and help Vision 2040 go. In fact, I was with Hemal, and he was on the phone with Dr. Joe, and Dr. Joe was giving him the go-ahead to do whatever NASA needs to give all the sort of all the research and all the help that NASA needs, all coming from Dr. Joe's work and that sort of thing. So that was really amazing because now what we're going to have is a bunch of meditators going up into the moon, which is exactly my speed. It's my kind of people that are going to be going up there. Then what we also had, which is really interesting, is that there's this new company that is able to shrink information better than anybody else. And the guy that started this company, do you remember BlackBerry was excellent at shrinking email space? And so BBM was this idea that they could shrink data. And that was what BlackBerry's sort of, I don't know, leap to stardom was. these guys are doing it. So like they're taking huge amounts of terabyte data and shrinking it to like a hundredth of the size. And they're the only ones who have it. And he was telling me about it. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, how did you come up with this? He says, no, I was head of cybersecurity for NATO. And I left head of cybersecurity for NATO to build this business. I'm like, Jesus, I don't even know what I'm doing on the stage here. These people here are like ridiculous, like doing some mad things. There was also the head of quantum computing for KPMG. And they were explaining what quantum computing is going to be doing, how many computer – I didn't know this, but do you know how many quantum computing startups there are? There are hundreds and hundreds of quantum computing startups that are doing all sorts of quantum computing. And do you know, this is the thing that when I was listening to the talk, I was listening and realizing that most technology is in its deceptive phase, meaning that we don't even know it's coming. It's like sitting in labs, sitting in universities, sitting at NASA. These guys are all experimenting things. The rest of us are sitting here thinking our iPhone is the latest, or Samsung in your case, is the latest, greatest thing. But meanwhile, there's these things going on behind the scenes that we have zero idea about, that people are like forging ahead, you know?
On that note, if you just think of what happened with Sora recently, you know, when OpenAI initially came out with like text-to-video stuff and it was so horrifically bad. And I mean, you've seen those videos of like Will Smith eating like lasagna or whatever, and it's so spaghetti. So bad. But even then we were like, wow, that's pretty good. It's like it's interesting that it can do this. And then I remember people saying, you know, they think in about 2 or 3 years you're going to get to very realistic video processing, and then it took 10 months, and it's because like you don't know what's happening in the background, and all of a sudden like every release that comes out, it's just like exponentially better than the previous one. Yeah. And then you have these companies that you are talking about that are in stealth and operating in the background, and they're just going to drop more bombs on the world as we go along, which, again, we can't know what the future is going to look like. Be okay with the uncertainty and the unknown. That's all I can tell you. It's like, we just do not know what is coming. These companies are all waiting to, like, revolutionize your world. So just be ready for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I felt I wasn't a futurist sitting there. You know what I mean? I felt I was like, whoa, there's just so much. And I think people are just doing it in their pockets, right? So in their pocket, they're way ahead. But outside of their pocket, they don't know anything. Like it's just, that's all they're focusing in on. You know, they did this amazing thing. They had four of these young, bright engineers from NASA, and they are all about 3D printing. So they are creating these 3D printed, they're actually taking 3D printers up into the space station, and they're going to be taking 3D printers up onto the moon. And so they did this workshop with everybody around what the perfect product would look like. And they did this whole like hour workshop with everybody in the crowd. They did crowdsourcing, and then they took what the crowd had created, 3D printed it, and had it flown in for the last day, and then presented the product that we had all created collectively. And it was an amazing thing, like, yeah, something to help the space station up there. So it was really interesting how they gone about it. And we didn't even know they were going to 3D print it and bring it. So it was a nice surprise, and people were so happy. Then there was a guy there that has created, he's been nominated for Nobel Prize. He's able to heal Alzheimer's in 30 minutes. I'll say that again. He's healing Alzheimer's in 30 minutes. And people are like, what? I mean, they have no idea why. So he's created this thing. I can't even know what. Listen to this. It feels like I'm talking about something from a movie, honestly. He uses laser lights in some specific way that guides cells to do certain things. And he can point that laser into the right way, and in that process can heal ailments, sicknesses, and Alzheimer's. So he's been able to create this biotech laser-focused light that is de-aging people. He says every time you come for a session, you de-age 3 years. So every time you come, your cells, and this is on a cellular structure, you de-age 3 years. So you come for, I don't know, 9, you've de-aged 36 years. And so this is what he's created. He's got a Nobel nomination for this. Then he says, this is just for people. What we're starting to do now is we're doing this for agriculture. And so our yields with agriculture is shooting through the roof because now we're understanding the biotech of agriculture and we don't have to use pesticides. And again, I'm so sorry for the people listening. It went right over my head. The way he spoke, I just didn't understand half of it. But all I understood, he's got a Nobel Prize. He's using laser lights and he's directing cells in your body to do certain things that were like, I couldn't believe it. You know, I was like, the most amazing thing. Now, I mean, I can keep going with this list, but I want to just take a quick break and just explain that there were more women on stage than men. And this was really, really awesome for me. You know, as much as you and I are men, and of course our business is speaking, we know that when we get up on stage, I often think there's far too many men. Although, obviously, I don't want to lose my own job, but I often think, geez, there should be more women here. There should be more diverse. Let me tell you, this stage was mostly women. And not just mostly women, women of color, immigrant women. It was just amazing watching this unbelievable powerhouses, one after the other, talking about, there was this lady, a Spanish lady, that is the head of, I don't even know, bro, head of something, something. She has created and found, I don't know, is it creating or found brand new protein structures that we don't have in our reality? She's created new protein structures to develop new forms of life. I was like, what? She's like, yeah. And then she starts talking about it again. You know what happens when she starts talking about this? I can't keep up because I don't know what the adding this to it. So I was just like, that was crazy for me. So now they're developing new forms of life, developing new protein strands. Now, another thing that really caught me was no Chinese people allowed near NASA events. No Chinese people allowed anywhere near governmental institutions of America because of the espionage war that's going on. I didn't know that.
Now that you say it, it makes sense. Yeah, but I wouldn't have thought it either.
It's unreal, eh? But I never thought of it. But now because of the espionage war, they're not allowed anywhere near it.
Yeah.
This was a big thing that was a theme across the whole event was talent is great, but persistence kicks its ass. And this kept coming up. And it was like everybody that was up on stage was talented, but mightily persistent in their world and their point of focus, you know? And we had people there building brand new cities. We had people there building spacesuits for people on stage. We had people there protein folding new types of protein. We had all these people, but every single one of them were incredibly dogmatic and persistent about what they were doing. And I thought that was a really good reminder again of anybody out there that's wanting to be excellent or great. Just remember, it's persistence. And I was watching a video with Tyler, and they were talking about Tyler, you know, the singer that's made it so big in America.
The singer, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And in COVID, she created a music video with all the restrictions happening so that somebody might see it. And this person was doing a documentary on her and how much she was so persistent about what she was doing. And then it clicked. It was her persistence that got her to where she is. It's not by mistake. You know what I mean? It's not like fluke. So I thought that was really important to focus in on, is that we very much need to focus on the fact that persistence is what makes you great. And that's what we should be doing. And then last piece, is I went and saw one of the rockets. I went to the NASA VIP tour of the NASA, facilities. And there was a rocket there and they had the biggest engine ever created by man. And it's 160 million horsepower. It goes from 0 to 6,000 miles an hour in 2.43 seconds. Let me just say that again. Okay. So 160 million horsepower. And you know how many horses there are in the world? There's not that many horses on the world. Okay. Let's just let you know. It takes you from 6,000. It goes from 0 to 6,000 miles an hour in 2.43 seconds. I mean, it can't even fathom what that is. But guess what?
No, you can't.
It will still take us 100,000 years to get to some star. It's like, that's not even fast enough. We have to actually do things much faster. Like that is not even touching on the scale of space, you know? We're not even getting from point A to point B quick enough. So it's really exciting. I mean, you can see I'm just bubbling with energy and excitement about this. I felt both incredibly inspired being there and also the fact that I have zero idea about, and I'm a futurist, zero idea about how fast these things are going. But when you go to this sort of conference, you have this incredible culmination and sort of like all these people coming together, sharing their latest research quite openly. I mean, it was really amazing. It was really open because it was for NASA, right? Anybody says, come work for NASA. People are like falling over themselves to be there. So yeah, it was just an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to spending more time at NASA and hopefully being invited back for some more events. Dr. Crystal and I became really good friends, and hopefully I'll be doing a pod soon from the space station. This is John Sarnay from the space station. I'm kidding. I don't think we'll be at the space station.
Listen, dude, thank you. That was great. It was it's so good to hear about people doing big things in the world. You know, and to see the people out there solving difficult, complex problems that are going to maybe, you know, in the long run, ensure the survival of the human race on other planets, but also that's making our lives better here on Earth as well. And that these things are being dealt with. And like, you know, the thing about the firefighting, for example, we've seen hell being raised with fires lately, like in SA, but I also saw, I think it was Texas. That recently had a huge firestorm. So it's I'm happy to see that also investing
in
a lot of
a huge problem with
Australia.
It.
It's every I'm seeing it all over. So number one, thank you for that. I think it's amazing to hear about these people and what they are busy with. It's very inspiring. Secondly, you know, on the topic of persistence, I've actually been thinking about it a lot. That we spoke about the five levels of, like that Nick Saban, the coaching guy, that said, you know, you have these five choices about how you're going to show up. One is that you are like below average. Two is like mediocre. Three is that you are good. Four is like excellent. And then five is, you know, top of your field. And I've been thinking a lot about this idea that talent and hard work just get you to a three. That's it. You know, like once you get to a certain level of play, everyone there is talented. Everyone there does hard work.
Yeah.
That doesn't differentiate you anymore at that level.
Not at all.
And so you need to start, adding different layers to that. And persistence, your ability to just keep going despite the odds, despite the setbacks, despite the failures. That's one part of what's going to help you become a four and a five and ultimately make some game-changing moves in the long run. So it's interesting to me to hear that at a conference of that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, look, also persistence eventually gets you to open a NASA event. Persistence. Like, it's like, I didn't even, like, yeah, it's just like, it was mind-blowing, you know? I mean, these people flew in to be part of panels, and I opened, and I had zero idea of what I was going to go open. In fact, a few days before, I was telling Shams, my business manager, I don't know if I feel like going, or like, I want to leave early, or I was like being petulant. I was being like a petulant child. I was like, no, man, I got too much on the go. I don't know. What am I going to go do there? Jeez, meanwhile, I was sitting there. I was like, oh, my God. I was just like, VR. I mean, they had people. They had Magic Leap there. So Magic Leap had a whole stand there. They had the future of keynote speaking. They had a cylinder camera and sound, something. They had pieces of the moon there. It was just next level. Next level. Unbelievable what people are up to.
Do you feel that it reinforces because like when we talk on the pod about how do we prepare people for the future, we always come back to this idea that like what's really important right now is that you learn to sit in the uncertainty and sit in the unknown, be able to self-regulate and not become overwhelmed. And also not become despondent, because I think when we look at, you know, all these big changes that are happening in the world, it often just feels to me like it kind of paints a picture of humans being replaced and becoming lesser than, et cetera, and jobs being taken. And so people start feeling very anxious and panicky about the future. Whereas like we're trying to really paint a positive and optimistic vision of the future. But do you feel like what you've experienced there reinforces for you that narrative of like, be okay with the unknown, be optimistic about the future? Like, what did you leave feeling?
Look, from the event? I think it confirms for me how important it is to find your passion as quickly as possible. Because it's that passion that makes you persistent. You can't pretend persistence. It's not something you can pretend, because if you don't truly, 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 truly love what you do, you're going to run out of steam. And somebody who's just dogmatic about it is just going to take over. And so the first thing always for me is, how quickly can you find out why you're here on earth? Once you find that out, passion becomes obvious, obsession becomes the norm, and now you're bobs away, and now you can keep moving. And so I think what I found there was people that were singularly minded into what they were excellent at. And I'll even go with Dr. Crystal, singularly minded to be a networker, to bring people together to think bigger. That's a skill. Unbelievable. In fact, I don't think I've ever seen anybody better at that. She was pulling in people, billionaires from around the world flying in, this musician that flew in from Germany on her own cost to come be part of this, all because of her networking skills, you know? And so that singular focus on why you're here and adding value from that level is incredibly inspiring to me. And I think you and I have arrived at that. And I think a lot of our listeners have in many ways. But if you haven't, that's your most important task. Because if you're not going to be persistent in something long-term, you're going to live an average life with average results. And that's not what anybody wants. And if you think that's what you want, is you've given up. Because all of us have got that potential, right? As the Romans used to say, all of us have a pocket of genii above our heads. Our job is to access that pocket of genii, the genius. And so that's really what I found there, is that it was a collection of geniuses doing incredible things, coming together to take humans onto the moon, to live there permanently. And they were talking about how many shuttles will be going off. In fact, it was Cam, the billionaire that put somebody in space. He was talking about the fact of how they're predicting that every hour there'll be a rocket going up into the moon, every hour, Mars twice a week, other stations. And he says, this is how we're predicting it. Every hour we'll have something go to the moon. Twice a week we'll have this rocket going to the Mars. And he was just like haphazardly, like we're at an airport. Like, yeah, we'll have flights going here, flights going here, flights going here. He was just talking about it like it was normal for him. Yeah. You know? And because that's the world he lives in.
He's living in that future.
He's living in that future.
Yeah, he lives in that future. Mm.
And so, yeah, that's also interesting for me, is when I meet billionaires, there seems to be a childlike wonder in a lot of them. They seem very caught up in what they're doing and so excited about it, you know? And I think that's excitement that gets people to come around them and help them. And yeah, just really interesting. See people that can yield that amount of wealth and that amount of power around them. Amazing watching them, you know. Loved it.
But, you know, just imagine when you feel that inspired and enthused by what you're doing, how easy it is to get up every day and just go and do the thing. And especially when they are, because obviously, like, you know, the mission that they are taking on across the board, you know, these are all grandiose. Like, none of this is easy. And so inevitably there are going to be setbacks and failures. But what might happen is that you fail in something, and like, you thought you were creating the cure for blindness, but then you create all of a sudden, you know, the like a new way of understanding medicine. But you never know. But it comes from that enthusiastic, curious space that you are operating in every day. So I want us to maybe just wrap on how do people go about finding passion? Because it seems like an easy thing to just say, like, go and find your passion. But the reality is, for many people, like, they're not quite sure, you know. You ask them about passion or purpose.
The answer is not find your passion. The question is not find your passion. No, yeah. I don't think that's the right question. The question is, follow the golden thread of your curiosity. That's all it is. Because, Eric, you're different. You're curious. You're curious about different things to me. You're curious about different things to your wife. You're curious about different things to anybody out there in the world. That is your fingerprint. In fact, the guy who was talking about the eye thing, he was saying, in fact, they reckon that the retina is even more unique than a fingerprint. That was one of the things he said. But it's that uniqueness that all of us have got a certain makeup from nurture and nature that makes us curious about certain things. Often some people are curious about pain that they've felt. This guy who's trying to solve this problem for his dad, that's his curiosity. That's his mission. And look where he's arrived because he's mission-led. And what curiosity almost always does, it leads you into unexpected places, connecting unexpected dots that make you totally unique because of your level of curiosity that led you to an ever-evolving stream of passion. So, you know, what I'm passionate about today might not be what I'm passionate about tomorrow, but my curiosity is leading me towards it. So I think we have to stop thinking about purpose and passion as this one thing, as a destination. It's a process that's fueled by your very unique level of curiosity. Now, if somebody says, well, I don't know what I'm really curious about, is when you're sitting in your lounge and you've got five options, just do the one that's a little bit more exciting than all the other four. Just use that as a lead into it, right? And then you don't know where it's going to go. And if you just think about me, right, for example, I went to Dr. Joe because I'm curious about meditation. I'm curious about evolving myself. I meet somebody there called Austin, who I become really good friends with. He invites me to do a talk in Denver, which I'm so curious and excited about. So I go and give a talk. Who's sitting in the audience? Gary. Gary then really digs me in. So we start chatting and he then tells me he's working with somebody from NASA and they'd like me to be part of this event. In my curiosity, I'm like, yeah, cool, let's go. I just ended up here. Was I running after my passion? No, I was running after what made me most excited and what was making me curious.
Yeah. I really like that answer because I actually have a bit of a gripe with passion in general. Like it feels to me like one of those things that we tell people to go and find, and that's why I wanted to lead us down this path. And it's like, it's just not obvious. Whereas like when you go follow your curiosity, like it's just a much more forgiving path than, oh, I have passion or don't have passion. And I get judged for like, I self-judge.
Yes.
Like, what is my passion? John has his passion. This guy has his passion. What's my passion?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you read Simon Sinek starts with why. And you're like, well, what is my why? I don't know what my why is. Like, and then it's like, okay, but you need to leave a legacy. And like, it all just becomes so crushing on a person.
Yes.
And that crushing creates overwhelm, which creates paralysis, which means you never go anywhere. Whereas follow your curiosity automatically creates momentum. It automatically creates forward motion. And if you just do that, that's enough. That's if you just follow that, that's enough. And I was speaking to a guy actually this week. He plays paddle with us. And he comes to me and he's like, I spent the entire morning just learning and I feel so good. And like you could see, he's like enthusiastic about, and he's like 60 something. But he's like in the process now of learning things, right? And I'm like, cool. Like, what were you listening to? He's like, no, I was listening to your podcast. So that was an additional kind of ego boost.
Awesome.
But it was great. It was great to see someone caught up in that process and caught up in the excitement of it. And that's exactly what we've been saying is that when you follow your curiosity, what you are doing is you're in the process of learning. When you're in the process of learning, you are also in the process of being relevant as the world changes, because you are never more malleable and more adaptable than when you are learning and following your curiosity as a result
of that. Well said. Well said. Look, I'm also glad that you're starting to play with people in the same age group as you, 60 plus. Eh? Is that your paddle crew now? Is that masters?
I think I might
what's happened?
I think I might have exaggerated the age now that I think of it. I think it's maybe more like 55-ish.
No. So when you say you're winning paddle matches, it's these 65-year-olds you're bullying. Is that what's going on, Eric?
Listen.
Anyway.
You just lace up your paddle shoes and compete against me. That's all I'm waiting for the past 2 years, you know?
Oh, my God. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be in Cape Town soon. Cool.
That was really, really good. Thank you for sharing your experience with us and introducing us to all these incredible people that are doing incredible things in the world. I'm sure everyone is leaving this podcast feeling very inspired. And I think ultimately, you know, the aim is hear what people are doing, be inspired by it, and then go and do your own thing. Create your own inspiration off the back of that. Closing thoughts from you?
My friend Sean always says to me, he says, don't forget, you wrote a book called What's Your Moonshot? And guess where you are now? literally putting people on the moon. So be careful with the words you use because you don't know how they're going to end up impacting your life. So yeah, be clear, be passionate. Not passionate. Be clear and be confident with the fact that if you're able to follow that curiosity, anything is possible. Look, I was sitting there in the audience. I was thinking, what am I doing here? And look, I can say that as many times as I want, but I opened the conference, opened it. Like it wasn't like I didn't play a small role. It was a big role. And I was thinking to myself, this is unbelievable. Like inside my own head, acting all cool on the outside, but inside my own head is thinking, my God, what an incredible opportunity this is, you know? So yeah, follow that curiosity. You have no idea what magic lies ahead.